said we just want to finish up today with the question of, are there mikvahs who don't believe in free will? And there are two completely different schools of thought. We'll not go chronologically. There are two completely different schools of thought in the Mesorah who deny free will. One, if you go to Makor number 10, is the famous Meir Shiloach. The Meir Shiloach is the Ishbit ceremony. He is a fairly well-known book of Chassidus. At the time, it was considered very radical. And I read some place that at first they refused to print his book. And he is the ancestor of some of the Chassidios that are still around today in Meir Shiloach. Such as Boyan, and says the Meir Shiloach number 10, Vatchachish sarra lemor lo tzachakti. Right? This is classic Hasidus in that what happens in the story? Hopefully we all remember this. It's a pretty famous story, right? Sarah doesn't believe she's going to have a baby when the three guests tell Avram, and she laughs. And Hashem says, why did Sarah laugh? Doesn't she believe I can do anything? And Sarah says, oh, I didn't laugh. Hashem says, yes, you laughed. So on the surface, it seems like a very strange story. Like, okay, so she didn't have a muna. And then, like, she laughs because she's, like, too immature to admit. She lies because she's too immature to admit that she really laughed about it. Like, seems very strange story. So what would a chassid do with this? He would say, no, of course, it's not about her emotional reactions and just how one person was feeling at the time. It's rather about deep philosophical ideas. Says the Ishbitzer number 10, Vatchachish sarreli mor lo tzachakti, omeka inge bazeh, kima de isab gemar kol bidei shamayim chutz mir shamayim, hu rak lefi gvul tfisa seichel ha'adam. The Gemara says, kol bidei shamayim chutz mir shamayim, meaning we have free will. That's only in accordance with the boundary of the grasp of human intelligence. Meaning what Chazal means is, by human logic, everything is in the hands of Hashem except for Yir Shamayim, and we have free will. Aval be'emes, but the truth, HaKol B'Yir Shamayim ve'af Yir Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem, including our Yir Shamayim, meaning we have no free will. We're puppets, and Hashem is pulling the strings. You understand this is a little bit bold. Generally, if you see someone who says, it says in Chazal X, but that just means it seems like X. Be'emes, the opposite of X, not X. So that's a very powerful tool.
I'm saying HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz M'Yir Shemayim. That's not to say that Shemayim decides constantly everything decides for Yir Shemayim. That means they have the ability, but Hashem has the ability too. That doesn't mean...
No, he thinks it means that Hashem decides everything.
Every decision that...
Every decision. Everything you do, Hashem makes you do. You have no... You're a puppet. Hashem runs the whole world. Why should anyone else have a say? Isn't Hashem powerful enough to run the whole world? That's the sheep of Meir Shiloach. However, Hashem hid this in this world and made it seem logically like we have free will. Yitzchak represents the philosophical idea that we have no free will, that Hashem controls everything we do. But the world wasn't fit for this precious truth. Lekach, meaning what's the problem? Yitzhak represents, right, in Chassidus, right? Everyone represents a philosophical idea, right? He represents the philosophical idea of Hashem controlling us and not having free will, but the world can't handle that truth. Therefore, Sarah had to say, my husband's too old to have a baby to deny that Hashem runs the world, because only by denying this truth could she provide cover for this truth to come to the world and not destroy the illusion of Olam Hazeh. And the reactions Hashem showed her, Midah Midah, that everything was in his control, even Yir Shamayim, and Yitzhak was born. If not for the fact that there was hiddenness, that she hid this truth by not believing in Hashem's control, Yitzhak couldn't have been born. Okay, everything is in the hands of Hashem. So Hashem controls everything, right? Everything is from Hashem. Now, what's the danger? Well, before we get to this, let's remember. What do we have on the board here? Remember we had arguments pro-free will? Right, what were all the proofs for free will, and how do we get out of them? So we had four proofs in this on the board in this order.
Scarva onesh, right? Meaning
it's not fair for Hashem to punish us and reward us. And I guess the punishment we care more about it being unfair. If we don't have free will, right? That's a good taina. Number two, a second religious taina, which is
mitzvah.
That exactly.
Otherwise, there's no point to Torah
and Nevuah. Thank you.
There was one, not necessarily religious taina. We experience free will. Right? Like, we know we have free will.
And the fourth taina was textual proof.
We had the Gemara and the Pesukim, right?
The Gemara that he starts out quoting. How does he get out of these proofs? What is the Mei Shiloah?
So here we have the Mei HaShiloah. He says that, what's his doctrine? We have no free will. We have no free will. And Hashem directly controls us.
Everything we do is for is Hashem controlling us. We're marionettes, and He's pulling the strings.
I know you can really ask this question like no matter what, but if Hashem is just controlling everything, what's the point of anything at all?
We'll get to that in a moment. Now, yes?
As well as, I don't understand why this secret needs to be kept secret. If you don't have a clear chashu to begin with. Like, Hashem could just say that.
Okay, because He decided.
He decided. He did decide. Because Hashem decided.
He decided, I said.
No, he didn't. Hashem decided.
No, no, that's what I mean. Hashem. Hashem decided. Yeah. Okay, now, first of all, how does he get out of these four proofs? Does he have answers for each of these four proofs, or one way to get out of all the proofs? What did he start by saying?
Reinforce.
That in accordance with logic, we have free will. But the truth, which transcends logic, is that we don't have free will. Okay, if the truth transcends logic, then what do you do if you have any kashas or stiras? That's actually no problem. He admits that logically we have free will. It's just that there's a truth which goes beyond logic, which is that we don't have free will. Okay, when your truth goes beyond logic, then you're impervious to kashas, right? You can't disprove a theory that claims to go beyond logic, because all your proofs are only from logic, right? Basically, what's he going to say?
He's going to answer all of these in one fell swoop and say, "Ein hachanami." Logically, we can prove that we were chavshis, but the real truth is beyond logic. Okay.
Once the real truth is beyond logic, you're automatically impervious to all attacks, because you just say, yeah, logically you're absolutely right that I'm wrong. But the real truth is beyond logic, so I'm right. Okay, so now you can't get any kashas on him.
Isn't that like disqualified theory itself? It can't be disproven.
Not if you're a chassid.
No, but then you can prove anything ever.
No, you can assert anything ever. Yeah, correct. Exactly. Correct. Exactly. And that doesn't bother him. Now, what's the main downside of this theory? Let's read the end. Last line. The Av Kolach HaTorim Shel Yisrael, and L'chor Yisrael is Lavdavkir, which is Yisrael is what we're interested in. All sins of the Jews, Him Bashkach HaShem Yisbarach, right? Anyone who sins and does something wrong, it's the Hashkach of Hashem. Hashem makes them do it wrong. Why would Hashem make you do sins? Someone asked, why would Hashem make you do anything if He controls everything? The answer is, why would a person sin? Because Hashem wants him to sin. Why does Hashem want him to sin? Because that sin is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem and is a great thing. The Havin Ki Amok Amoku, understand this because it's very deep. What is the big danger of someone denying free will? A sin is actually an aveira is actually the same as a mitzvah now. Why did you do a mitzvah? Hashem wants you to do the mitzvah because this is ratzon, because it's good. Why did you do an aveira? Hashem wants you to do an aveira because this is ratzon, because it's good. Every aveira is a tremendous kiddush Hashem. Do I understand why? No, but if Hashem wants you to do it, it must be it had some great reason. If a guy did an aveira, it must be that doing an aveira was the right thing and was much better than doing a mitzvah then. Because Hashem made him do it, and Hashem would only choose to make you do a good thing. The danger, of course, is that someone will now go and do all the aveiros and have a good excuse.
That's not a problem for him.
It's not a problem for him because he doesn't think you choose, but it's a problem for me, right? It's a problem for me if other people believe this. But you're right. He didn't think it's a problem because you don't choose what you're going to do anyway. It's up to Hashem. But you understand how someone who does believe in free will could think it's a very dangerous doctrine to preach, because once all sins are Yisgadav, Yisgadav, Shmei Rabbah, okay, let's see where we go with this. Yes?
Largely like a theological question. If we don't have free will, then aren't we just a segment of Hashem?
Yes, that's actually to a certain extent where it's coming from.
It's like
the idea that there's really nothing besides Hashem. And we're just part of Hashem.
Okay.
I don't really know what this means, but is this Lishitaso that he holds of the concept of Avera Lishma? Or is that...
Yes, yes. This is very much his. This is the same doctrine. He's a famous doctrine of Avera Lishma, meaning that doctrine is found already in Shas in a very different sense. In Shas, we find the idea of Avera Lishma that sometimes there could be a Navira, could be Dechuya, and you could do it Lishma. That's not so philosophically bold, but that's the idea, correct? Meaning if someone does Navira, realizing that they have no free will and Hashem made them do it and that it's all for a good reason, then it's better than a mitzvah. Or it's the same as a mitzvah, actually. Exactly. Let's look at one more Me'ashilach. There's more than one. Oh, I should have brought also one parchas Pinchas. He says, why did Hashem have to give this Bris Shalom to Pinchas? Because Pinchas did a terrible thing. So Hashem needed to forgive him for it. What a terrible thing did Pinchas do? He killed the Tzaddik Zimri. Zimri was in the middle of doing such a great, wonderful thing. Why was he doing such a great, wonderful thing? Because Zimri understood that he had no free will, and Hakol B'nei Shamayim Va'Afkir Shamayim, and he was doing Avir L'Shma, and he was the biggest tzaddik in the world, and this Pinchas misunderstood and killed him.
But Pinchas was also, doing that without free will.
Yeah, nonetheless. Okay, one second. Let's look at 11. Vayikach Korach, Isa B'medrash, Neiman Nismach Parshat Korach, Parshat Tzitzis. V'she Korach Lokach Talos Shekula Tchelas. So we all know this medrash, right? That Korach comes after tzitzis. He took the talish shekula tchilas, asked if it needed tzitzis or not. What does this mean philosophically? Again, the Rebbe will tell you this is referring to philosophy of halacha. But what does the Me'ashilach say? Ki tchilas moral yira, tchilas is yira shemayim. Vine Korach ton, she yira Hashem is marach mefureshel tefanav, who maven shakob b'di shemayim filo yira shemayim. Korach said, I'm a talish shekula tchilas. I don't need a particular yira shemayim. Of one psil techeles. My whole life is techeles, because I recognize that everything I do is from Hashem. Because I call me the Shemayim of your Shemayim. Korach says, I'm in the Madrega to know that I have no free will. Therefore, my whole life is mitzvahs, automatically. Even if I'm bal nara moras of Yom Kippur, and that's a mitzvah. My whole life is techeles. The imkenech yavel adam shiasadav negritzon Hashem is barach. Then how can anyone possibly do anything against Hashem? Because everything they want to do and they do is for Hashem. Meaning, I can never go against Hashem. I don't need a reminder of Hashem. Because I know that everything I do is for Hashem. By definition. How can I do anything against Hashem? Meaning, not that Korach said, I'm such a tzaddik, I would never go against the Shulchan Aruch. Korach said, I'm such a tzaddik that even if I go against the Shulchan Aruch, I know I'm doing Ritzon Hashem. I don't need yira, I don't need tzitzis. Meaning here he's struggling with the implications of a shita. What's Korach saying? I know the truth, I'm a tzaddik, I know I have no free will, so I don't need yira shamayim. I don't need the regular halachic structure, I don't need normal morality, because I know it's all from Hashem. over MS for Tony. Hashem is Baruch Shalom Zei Yeleni Adam. Nonetheless, Hashem wants this world to be the way it appears to people. Hashem doesn't want to give that away. Hashem doesn't want to preach this too much. Yechezkel daven that the shore face of the chayos of the Merkava changed to a crow. Kishor mar al chacham of ureris ma'od of ha'omek ha'chobed yishamayim v'chiris ha'adam enerak eklipis Hashem v'enerak lefi daito ki Hashem is ma'chester dakum de adam ki yachpot v'avodas adam uvim yehach kol golig v'fun of v'yitzvon shem avoda. Right? Again, to unpack the statement, you're going to get some internal contradictions. I'm not sure what to do with it. But what a shore? Shore means clear knowledge. And once you know things clearly, you see that everything is controlled by Hashem, and the illusion, the facade of your bechira is just like a garlic peel, which is very thin, if you've ever peeled garlic, and is only the way it seems like, because Hashem hid his ways from this world, because he wants a certain kind of avoda. Therefore, he hid the real truth of determinism so that we can have avoda. Yechezkel daven that the truth of determinism should be hidden and we should seem like we have bechira. Basically, what's going on here? Korach is saying, I don't need tzitzis because I'm on the madrega where I know I have no free will. And therefore, everything I do is Ratzon Hashem. And why was Korach wrong? Korach was wrong because in this world we need to live on the level of illusion of free will. We can't reveal the truth in this world. Yeah, that's why Korach, meaning Korach, he makes all the bad guys into good guys. Korach was be'etzem right, he was just technically wrong because the world's not ready for this. What was Korach's sin? He was the madriga that the world's not ready for. Not that he was a Rosh Arusha. Just like Zimri was on a madriga the world's not ready for. None of you obviously were on a madriga the world's not ready for. Okay, he's the way I'm reading this, he's struggling with the implication of his own theory. Like, he's Korach. So is he going to say, oh, I'll throw out my Shulchan Aruch because I don't need that Sil Techilas reminder of Hashem because I know everything is the truth? He's saying, no, I'm not going to go there because I understand you have to play by the rules of Olam Hazeh while internally realizing the real truth. And for, I know I didn't bring all the things, that all the passages that illustrate this. For the Me'ashi Loach, the real difference between people is not if they do mitzvahs or averos. That's completely irrelevant because it's all Ratzon Hashem. The real difference in good people and bad people is, do they think they're doing things on their own, or do they realize it's from Hashem? If you think you're doing things on your own, then if you do averos, you're a terrible person. And if you do mitzvahs, you're an okay person. But you're not a great person. To be a great person, you have to realize that you're nothing, and you're just a puppet in the hands of Hashem. That's the real madriga. And then it makes no difference if you do mitzvahs or averos.
Isn't what you realize also under Hashem's control?
Yes, and a chanami. Yes.
I don't know the names of this story, but when the four people come out of the Pardes, the person that went crazy, or maybe, I forget, but at the end of the story, he's like sitting on Har HaBayis, and he's looking out into the distance, and he says there's only a peel of garlic separating Shemayim and Aretz. So maybe he's alluding to this here. There's no difference between Shemayim and Da'at.
Yeah, it could be. Although, Klipas Hashem is something, is a muscle that's used a lot in Chazal.
Okay,
let's look at one of his Talmidim. Hopefully you've heard of him. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, one of the great Hasidic philosophers, one of the most interesting Hasidic philosophers, said, he has a great nafkamina of this. I remember one year, Sudam of Sekes, I spent the entire Sudam of Sekes, Erev Yom Kippur, fighting with my guest over what tshuva is. I said, tshuva means you have to take responsibility for your actions. Like the Rambam on the first page of the Makor sheet, etc. My guest said, no, tshuva is you have to deny responsibility for your actions. Where did my guest get this from? I mean, from a cliche, but where did it actually come from? Rav Shigar, but where did it actually come from? From 12, Rav Tzadok was the Talmud of the Ishbitzer. Ikra tshuva hu, atche yarashim enam shu zones kizuchuyos. Remember the Gemara says, if you do tshuva mi'yira, your zedonos become like shkagos. If you do tshuva mi'ava, your zedonos become like zechuyos. What does that mean according to the Ishbitzer? If you do tshuva mi'yira, it means you believe you have free will, but you're afraid of Hashem. So Hashem takes your zedonos, that's only like shogeg. What does it mean tshuva mi'ava? Tshuva mi'ava means you're on the madriga where you know you don't have free will. If you don't have free will, then actually your averos are zechuyos, because averos are mitzvos. Right? So that's what the Iker Tshuva is, until Hashem enlightens your eyes. right? Because keep in mind, it's after Hashem whether you do tshuva gemura. And then here's a donut become less rotsa lomer, she yakr v'yavin, she koma shechata yigam ki mitzvot Hashem yisbarach. The highest level of tshuva is denying responsibility for your actions. Ironically enough, right, is to understand that what you sinned was from Hashem. Koma she'am rizal shlosh l'psokim v'chuliyata yisibos aslibam. Chazal, say three psokim blame Hashem for averus. One is that he turned our hearts backwards. Asher har yosi, he made us do evil. Uketam, right, says from Tzadok, naf kavina for tshuva. Totally different Yom Kippur if you're an Ishbitzer. It's not all about taking responsibility. It's all about denying responsibility. I mean, that's true of Meira. But the true tshuva is about denying responsibility, about realizing it was all from Hashem, and it was all mitzvos, regardless of whether it was a mitzvah or a nefira. That's the highest level of tshuva. Not what we think of as tshuva. And he says, and this is like the solution to the stira that we spent all of last time discussing, the stira between Hashem's foreknowledge and our bechira. What's his answer to the stira? Shabir HaRizal Sof Sefer Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. The HaRizal explained, as quoted in it, it's not a Sefer by him, by a Talmud, in the end of Sefer Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, I looked up the Kabbalistic Sefer Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. It doesn't exactly say this. So, but Rav Tzadok says it. In the Sefer Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, I tell him the HaRizal doesn't quite say this. But what does it say here? Sheshneim Emes Kol Echad Makom Tein Atzmo. Taket is a stira. And what's the answer? Each one is true on its own level. On this world that we have Bechira from our human perspective, Hashem doesn't know what's happening. And in the true world, where Hashem knows what's happening, that goes beyond the logic of this world, we have no Bechira. Okay, it doesn't say that in Sefer Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, that's an interpretation, right? Which means that, yeah, there's this level where we have Bechira, but there's the true level where you don't have Bechira. Shemasik lor, zeh atzav Hashem calls in on some building yotz, we almost get the Hashem is barach. Vuh v'dayt v'tzono kelechad. Once you get this tremendous light and you know you have no free will, so all of your averos b'mezid are not exceptions to Hashem's knowledge, and Hashem's knowledge is His will, and therefore Hashem wanted you to do averos. And now he has a great raya. I'm going to convince you to become Ishbitzers now. Look how good his raya is. Well, first finish the sentence. I don't know why there's a paragraph. Great. Umeyachash, Hashem is Baruch Ratzah came. He says Hashem wants you to do the Avera. It is the Chuyos. The Zoch LeKapar Gemur Shem Yom Kippur. And that's how you get the complete Kapar of Yom Kippur. Shizel Sod HaSar LaZazel. He has a great shot. According to him, we understand the secret. Why do you bring a Sar LaZazel? Shilu Asahu Adama Atzwa Yovod Razar Gomer Vulo Yiyash Yisok Mehel Komitz Lo Sase. He's basing himself on the Ramban. Anyone know what the Ramban says? He says you really are giving an offering to the gods. You're giving an offering to the Satan, to the evil spiritual forces, right? Which is, if you had done this on your own, it would be Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah is Logia, the second commandment, which represents the root of all Averus, all Osases. Chol Averus, Asaras, Meir, Sonish, Meran, all Averus, and all deviating from Ritzon Hashem. However, Hashem wants you to bring the Sar Lazazel Shu Mitzav L'Shal Cholo. He commands you to send it to the Satan. Nasa Od Mitzvah Lo Avir becomes a Mitzvah, not Avir. V'chein Pershu Chazal V'ayin Baramban Parshat Achrei Et She Anu Nosen Chilik Lazazel Shu Arra Mitzan Mas Hashem Yisbarach Tzivah Lassas Lo V'nin Tzavir Mitzvah. That's what Ramban says. We're actually giving an offering to evil because Hashem told us to. So the Avir becomes a Mitzvah. He says, what's the secret of Sar Lazazel? We're doing Avodah Zarah to represent the biggest Avera in the Torah, to represent all Averos. But since Hashem commanded us to do this Avodah Zarah, it's a mitzvah. That's the secret of Yom Kippur, to realize that all Averos are really mitzvahs because Hashem commanded us to do them. Okay, that's the Ishbitzer idea of Yom Kippur. Very radical. I'm not recommending it myself as a philosophy of life, but I guess Rav Shigar is.
How could one hold this if they do believe in free will?
You can't.
So Rav Shigar doesn't believe in free will?
Apparently not. I'm not an expert in Rav Shigar, but I guess not. Do I know? Okay, now, here, I'm going to point out a Rav Kook that I don't know what he means. He means something very deep. I don't know what he means. But it's interesting. What's the one interesting thing about this Rav Tzadok? Let's take it to the psychological plane. You know, sometimes people have a spiritual journey. Maybe no one here had a spiritual journey. But like, you know, not everyone was always in the same place spiritually. Some people have, you know, they were just brought up from and then they're from and very stark, etc. Some people, okay, they're brought up assimilated, whatever, then they became Baal Tshuva, they found a chateau or something, very nice. Some people have very complicated journeys. You know, they did all kinds of wrong things. They knew they were doing the wrong things, and they made the wrong decisions, etc. Then somehow they came back to the right place, and you look back on your journey, and what do you say? You say, or what can you say? You can say, boy, katai negdi tamid, and that's so terrible, I'm such a bad person, and you know, I'm trying to, you know, make up for that. Or sometimes people can feel like they want to say, no, like, it was important that I'm on that journey. Like, you know, the journey got me to the right destination. It was all good in the end. So according to Rav Tzadok, for sure, you could say it was all good in the end, right? Even the averos I did, they were all good. How about if you believe in free will? Like, can you look back on your journey and, like, see it as a good thing? So Rav Kook here says something that I don't understand the amkus of. But it's very fascinating psychologically, says Rav Kook. Echad, he basically says halfway the Ishbitzer in Rav Tzadok. Echad miyasoda shal tshuva, machshav shal adam, 13, vakoras achraya shal adam ma'isav. Starts out Rambam-esque, like mainstream Judaism. A yasod of tshuva in human thought is to recognize a person's responsible for his own actions. Shabbat mitav munas abachir achav shal adam, which comes out of the faith and free will. And that's the whole concept of vidoy that goes in this of tshuva. Shemoda adam she'in shav inyan echad, that a person admits that there's no other thing. The whole point of tshuva, Rav Kook, is to say it's not anything else's fault or anyone else's fault. My averus and the results came osav atva, only my own fault. That is, right, for Rav Kook says, what's the important part of tshuva? Not just aval chatanu, aval anachnu chatanu. No one made us do it. Nothing made us do it. It's not society. It's not this. It's not that. It's my own bechira. And that's you clarify for himself his free will. And the power of his own control over the order and the actions of his life. And that's how you clear the way to do tshuva to Hashem. To recreate your life in a good way. And how you know that you've succeeded, when you draw from the well of knowledge, which connects to the Kedusha of the light of Torah, nefesh, which settles your soul. So far sounds like mainstream Rambam. The akre idea but after we clearly know that the problem that it's a contradiction, two opposite things can't be true of one subject, is only relative to our understanding. The Gavi Sichlenu Ha'mugbal, and our limited intelligence, but doesn't apply at all to the nature of the Creator, Adon Cholakukim, Cholakukim made the rules, Sivas Cholasivos, who caused everything, the source of wisdom and the builder of understanding, Baruch Hu. Meaning, what's he saying? This is a Yesod of Kook that maybe we mentioned in other occasions, or maybe we will. He believes that contradictions can both be true for Hashem. Therefore, now that he's allowed to contradict himself, we're prepared to believe there's room for the hashkafa of a person's free will, which is what he just said, to do tshuva. Also to believe there's no bechir and there's no free will. And things flow from all the different streams of existence. But until you've done tshuva, until you have arranged the paths of tshuva, until you do tshuva, don't believe this, Rav Tzadok. Until you do tshuva, you are carrying the burden of your own free will and the blame for your actions. All the bad results are your own fault. So he doesn't say tshuva is like the Rav Tzadok. Tshuva is like the Rambam, taking responsibility. So where is the room for the other side of the contradiction? Amnam achrei arsa tshuva. After the light of tshuva, you took your own responsibility out of free will. Now, retroactively, all the bad things you did in your life, and all actions that, according to our understanding, are not good, and whose results are bitter for us, after you do tshuva by acknowledging free will, now somehow, everything gets blamed on Hashem. And they're all considered to be outside of the principle of your free will. When Starfim Lushusan Hagal Yonah, they are attributed to Hashem's control, Rishus Gavoa, Asher Koma Seinu Pa'alto, who really made us do everything. That's only bad things that I'm afraid after you take responsibility in tshuva are now Hashem's will. However, good things are always your credit and always considered to be coming from your bechira. You get the point. When you do tshuva, the more that all the bad things you do get blamed on Hashem, for whom everything is good, all the good things you do become more blamed on you, and you get credit for them. Okay, do I understand exactly how this works? No, I admit. But he's saying something interesting philosophically. Like, it's an interesting philosophical compromise, even though I don't really understand how it works. He says that, on the one hand, you have to take full responsibility, or else you're a Rasha. To do tshuva, you take full responsibility, like the Rambam, not like the Tzadok. But once you've done tshuva out of responsibility, now I'm afraid everything changes, and you can say, maybe it's Hashem's will that I have that journey. It was all for a good cause in the end. It was all for a good reason in the end. So, it's, I think, a very psychologically useful shita, meaning A, that you'll do a useful tshuva because you'll take responsibility for your actions, and B, that you'll be able to feel good about yourself afterwards. I don't know how it works, but okay, Rav Cook's smarter than me, and we'll just leave that on his authority for now. Okay, this is one very radical idea of the Me'ah Shilach. However, he's basically the one achron with a couple Talmidim who holds this. There's one Rishon who holds we don't have free will, and that is Rav Chasdai Kreskes. Rav Chasdai Kreskes, no one heard of him nowadays because no one cares about philosophy nowadays.
We didn't get to love.
And he has nothing to do with Rabbi Kreskes Vidal, who may or may not have written the Ritvan Gittin. Rav Chasdai Kreskes was a Talmud of the Ran. He is known as one of the most famous of the anti-Aristotelian Rishonim. And one of the sheets of anti-Aristotelianism is denial of free will. But let's see how he does it. Number 14, last makor of the sheet, because I think we've done all the others. Beveir hadas hamiti kfima shechiyabto Torah ve'ion. Explaining the truth in accordance with Torah and philosophy proofs. V'nomar, this is at the end of a long discussion. Sha'achar she'ishkan betainos mechaibos metzias teva ha'efshar. Efshar means indeterminate, free. Since there are arguments that prove that indeterminism is true. But Tainus Machaibus Hedero, Heder is the denial. And there are arguments that prove that everything is determined. There's no other option except that free will, indeterminism, is true in one sense and not in a different sense. What are these two senses? Me, Tim, Ve'id, I wish I knew. Okay, dot, 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 but he knows. Lazel Mufur, he explains. Excuse me for a moment. She'ein b'chalatayno she'mitzad ha'iyon she'yichai metziyas teva ha'efshar el b'chinas atzmos hadvarim. All the philosophical proofs, arguments, only prove that you have free will in terms of your decision itself, atzmos hadvarim, hanim tzayim. V'lo b'chinas tibosayim, not in terms of the cause. What's his chiluk here? His chiluk is there is free will in terms of atzmos habechira, and there is determinism mitzad sivas habechira. What does he mean by that? He means
maybe the same type of chiluk that we saw in the that there's a difference between what happens in the logical world.
And no, he's being very logical. He says this: no one makes you decide; you decide on your own. That's atzmos hadvarim, right? You decide on your own. No one makes you decide. Right now, if I were to decide, well, better example. If you decide to kill someone or not to kill someone, you are deciding on your own. No one pulls the strings. He is not like the Me'ah Shilach. No one controls you. You do everything on your own. However, you decide on your own. But what makes you decide on your own? Your brain makes you decide on your own. How does your brain make you decide on your own? Now, he's not talking about brains and any modern science, etc. But he does recognize their scientific principles. What would many scientists say nowadays? Would they say that God controls you and pulls the string and you're a puppet? No, they'd say you decide on your own. But how do you decide on your own? Well, your brain's a computer. How do computers decide what to do? How do computers decide what to do? Do they use free will? No. They're programs. It depends on the program, on the software, and on the data you input, right? What do psychologists call those two things? Nature and nurture, right? Depends on the program, meaning what DNA do you have, right? And how is your brain born? And on the input, what experience did you have that you react to by acting in a certain way? What does he mean by this? You decide on your own. But what makes you decide? What makes you decide is your nature and your nurture. It's all internal. No one's pulling strings.
You decide without outside interference. That's Atmos HaDvarim, but it's still deterministic. Your decision is determined by nature, your nature and nurture, which are, of course, not things under your control. Everything you do is a result of the DNA, the way your brain was born, and the experiences you had that made a roshem on your brain. And therefore, some modern-day philosophers nicknamed this, they nicknamed the Meshiloach, and modern philosophers weren't discussing the Meshiloach, they were discussing the theories, right? They were Jews. They nicknamed the Meshiloach hard determinism. Something makes you do it, and something from the outside makes you do it, and they nicknamed Rechaz Kreska soft determinism. Nothing makes you do anything, but internally, you do what you're programmed to do.
What does it mean to decide if it's already determined?
What?
Like, what's it, how does Rechaz Kreska define deciding?
Define deciding that my brain comes to a decision and comes to a decision and moves the limbs of my body and just does something.
What makes that a decision?
What makes that a decision? Because it controls my actions. It's not that God moves my hand to make me kill you. No. It's not that God goes into my brain and flips a switch to make me kill you. My brain on its own decides to kill you.
So deciding is defined by whenever your brain decides.
Deciding is reaching a conclusion. My brain reaches the conclusion that I should kill you. Okay, why did it reach that conclusion? Not because anyone went into my brain and changed anything. Not because anyone pulled the string and made my brain do it. My brain did it on its own. But what picks what my brain is in the first place? Deterministic factors. That's what a lot of scientists believe nowadays.
And the Me'ah Shiloach would say that your brain doesn't reach the conclusion, it just...
That my brain does not reach a conclusion. Hashem goes into my brain and puts the conclusion there.
Isn't Hashem just nurture them?
Okay, hold that thought for a moment. Okay, let's look at how he's going to answer all these questions. Basically, the difference between Rechaz Kreska and Meshiloach is saying, oh, I have a real truth that transcends logic, therefore I'm potter from logic. He's going to say, no, I'm working within logic. I'm going to answer all the kashas. Let's see how he answers them. The religious tainas only prove you have free will in your own decision, in the moment of your decision. Not that there's no deterministic factors behind it. How about the taina from, otherwise there's no point for the Torah Nivua. Right? Let's call this 1, 2, 3, 4. Start with 2. How does he answer up 2? After all, if you have no free will, then what's the point of Hashem always telling you what to do and giving you Mussar and sending the VM to tell you what to do? So what does he say? that if everything was determined that all the mitzvos and the prohibitions would be for no reason, it's clear that only proves that you have bechira in the etzem of the decision. If be'etzem Hashem made you decide, then all the mitzvos and all the commandments or prohibitions would be for no reason. You have free will in your own decision. There's only determinism in terms of the reasons behind your decision in your brain. Then the Hashem's prohibitions and commandments and messages are not for no reason, but for a good reason. What's the point? Point is this. If I believe in Rav Chasdai determinism, there's determinism in the forces that shape your brain. Then is giving you a Musar Shmooze for no reason? Is giving you a Musar Shmooze pointless? No, Adrabah. Giving you a Musar Shmooze is very important. Because a Musar Shmooze is part of the nurture that affects your brain and makes you do good things. Right? He says, why does Hashem tell you choose the right thing if you can't choose? No, you can't choose. You choose based on the deterministic factors that influence your brain. So if Hashem tells you to choose the right thing, that's a factor that influences your brain and makes you do good things. Since Hashem wants goodness, therefore it makes sense he would do it. And that's what he says. He says, ki yusibas menios ledvar Hashem v'shem yatzvan. They will be things that cause things that are in the moment free. In the level of causes which cause things to happen, just like working hard causes you to make money, and good things, just like running away saves you from danger. This does not prove that there's determinism in terms of the reason, free will in terms of the reason. What is he saying? He's saying that according to the Me'ashi Loach, it's pointless for Hashem to tell you uvacharta b'chayim. It's pointless for Hashem to tell you, do this, don't do that. He's going to make you do it anyway. But according to him, Adrabah, if you hold of soft determinism, education is super important. And giving people a drach is super important. Because it's one of the factors, that if one of the data that affects the computer makes it get the right result. He says, no.
The Torah and Nevuah are very very effective because they cause you to make good decisions. You make the decisions, but you make the decisions based on the influences on your brain.
So Hashem telling you, choose life is an influence on your brain that makes you make good decisions. So it's very useful. It's very smart that Hashem would tell you these things. Why would Hashem tell you choose the right thing? Because that's a factor that will go in your brain and make you choose the right thing. So it's very useful. Okay, next taina. Ulam. A taina, well, let's just fill this in a little. Number three, we experience free will. That's no problem, right? Yes. We experience free will in the moment of decision. We have no experience of how we reach the decision, meaning that's not smuso. I feel I have free will to eat an apple or not eat an apple. Let's say I decide to eat the apple. I feel that I ate the apple of my own free will and I decided on my own. What made me decide to eat the apple? Well, I decided to eat the apple. Why did I decide to eat the apple? Because I wanted to eat the apple. Why did I want to eat the apple? At a certain point, I don't have an experience of like what made me want everything underlying, right? I decide to kill you, right? More interesting example. I experienced that I decided on my own to kill you and I could have decided not to kill you. Why did I decide to kill you? Because I was really angry at you. Why was I really angry at you? Because you did something to annoy me. Why did your doing something to annoy me cause me to be so angry? Well, because it was really annoying. okay, but not everyone's so angry at every annoying thing. Why do I get very angry about this thing? All of a sudden, I don't know why I did. That was just how I felt, right? If it was just how I felt, then already, what I'm saying is that I experienced in the moment I decided on my own, no one made me do it. But why I decided to do it, I don't fully know, right? That's why some people go to these Freudian therapists to figure out why they decided to do things. And even then, they just make stuff up. So that's what he's saying. It doesn't prove that I free will mitzad hasibos. Let's just look at this for a moment. It's also very poshut. He says, no, this just proves that Hashem doesn't force me to make decisions. But my brain is still a deterministic machine. All Chazal says, "Hakol b'Yishamayim chutz b'Yishamayim." Hashem doesn't make me do things. I do things on my own. Hashem doesn't make me do things. Hashem does not make me eat an apple. I make myself eat an apple with my own brain. So that means, ba'atzmuso, no one makes me do it, I do it on my own. I do it on my own, no one makes me do it. But my brain makes me do it. And if my brain is a deterministic machine, is just a computer, then ultimately, way back, why did I eat the apple? No one made me do it, I did it on my own. But what made me do it on my own? My own free will, my own will to eat the apple. But what made me will to eat the apple? Okay, going back, you know, when I was a child, someone ate an apple and I saw it and influenced, whatever it may be, who cares? You know, if it's Freud, I don't know, because I wanted to have sex with my mother or something. So I ate an apple, right? Something like that. whatever it may be, you know, that is, he has a good time. Chazal just say Hashem doesn't control you. But they don't say your brain doesn't control you. They don't say how your brain works. And your brain is deterministic.
Yeah, but still, in the examples, we're still making the distinction between the Sionos, certain, like, predetermined, perspectives on certain situations. It sounds like I can still make a decision despite those,
No, I can make a decision, but only one decision. Right. Yes, I can still make the one decision that my brain forces me to make.
The consciousness is sort of irrelevant to the fact, I'm not really annoyed, it's more like, this was a natural consequence based off of, right.
So it's just the programming that you've got in your brain, but who, you know, albeit removed by time, God still made that programming.
Didn't I just tell you 5 minutes ago? Oh, no. Yes, that's a good point. Hold that thought. What we're saying is that Hashem doesn't directly control us. Of course, he does indirectly control us. This is by creating the world. He put all the things in motion that, you know, when he did the Big Bang, he then put all the things in motion that would eventually determine that I eat an apple.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, that's not a problem, Chazal. It's still, that's not what he means. What Chazal means is that Hashem directly controls everything else but me. But let's hold that thought for a moment. Let's see how he gets out of the first taina, though. The first taina is still a good one. Scharva onesh. Because in the end, it's still determined by nature and nurture. So how is it for you to punish me? The fourth paragraph. The second taina, obviously, is not the same order we have on the board. That comes with reward and punishment. That if a person was determined in his actions, then reward and punishment would be injustice in Hashem's nature. If it seems like there's a strong taina to deny any determinism, but if we think about it, if reward and punishment was a consequence of mitzvahs and averos, like results are consequences of causes, we can't say they're unjust. Like it's not unjust that if someone goes in fire, they get burnt. Even if they didn't willingly go in the fire. What is he saying? A big chakir in scharva onish. The biggest chakir in the world in scharva onish. What does the Torah mean by scharva onish? Let me give you an example. What's scharva onish? Right? Let's say I am a... seatbelts. What is the punishment for not wearing a seatbelt? So there are two ways I could tell you the punishment for not wearing a seatbelt. I could say the punishment for not wearing a seatbelt is $250 fine and 6 points on your license. That's true. Or I could say the punishment for not wearing your seatbelt is that if you get into a crash, you crack your head open and die. What's the difference between these two kinds of punishments? The first one is a penalty, right? Is a judicial penalty, which is externally imposed by a judge. The second one is not really a punishment, but is a consequence, right? A teacher can say to you, if you don't listen during math class, you'll get detention. That's a judicial penalty. Or the teacher can say, if you don't listen during math class, you will not get a good mark on your SATs. That's a consequence, right? Is schar onish in the Torah a penalty or a consequence? What did the Torah mean by schar onish? That God puts on his judicial robes and bangs his gavel on his desk, all kaviyachol, and says, you get this for doing that and you get that for doing this? Or that it's a consequence of your action, right? If someone's a Russian, he dies, he goes to hell. Why does he go to hell? Because Hashem sits there and says, I'm giving you hell as a punishment, like $250 and 6 points, like detention. Or because naturally the Averos bring physicality and Tumah into his soul, and therefore his soul naturally cannot access the heavenly spiritual light. Right? What does it mean? So, is it a penalty? Means externally imposed by Hashem? Or is it a consequence? Right? Is it a penalty or is it a consequence? Of course, what's the difference in the two punishments for seatbelts? The cracking your head open chashom in a crash is the reason they made the law of seatbelts. The $250 is not the reason they made seatbelts. The seatbelts is the reason, meaning because of cracking your head open, they made the law of seatbelts, and because of the law of seatbelts, they made the penalty to make sure people keep it. Right? So is a penalty like something added to the Aveira, or is it the reason for the Aveira in the first place? Basically, when Hashem threatens schar va'onesh, is he telling you, I'm making these rules and I'm going to enforce them? Or is he basically telling you more of an Eitzah Tovah? I know consequences that you don't know. And therefore, I'm telling you what the consequences will be so that you'll know what's going on. Right? Maybe Schar Va'onesh is just Tamei HaMitzvos. So, like for example, Sefer Yekarim says in the beginning, you have to believe in Schar Va'onesh because there has to be a good reason behind all the mitzvahs and aveiros. What he's saying is scharvonish means a consequence. Right? So, here's the chakira. Says Rav Chasnei Kreskes, if scharvonish was a penalty, it would be unfair to have scharvonish because it's not really your fault because your brain's just a computer. But if scharvonish is a consequence, meaning, says Rav Chasnei Kreskes, if it's a penalty, then it has to be fair. A penalty has to be fair. I can't punish you unfairly. Right? Meaning, let's use this example. The teacher can only give you detention if it's your fault. If it's not your fault, she can't give you detention. Or, the cop can only give you a ticket for $250 and 6 points if it's your fault. Let's say you put on your seatbelt, and then you show how they just released a recall from Toyota that in the Camrys of, in the 2010 Camrys, You know, there's some, when you go over a bump, the seatbelt mechanism doesn't work so well. When you go over a bump, it releases and the seatbelt retracts on its own. So it's not your fault. So what will happen? You'll write this into the judge. You'll send him a copy of a printout from the internet of the recall from Toyota. And he'll say, then I can't give you a penalty because it's not your fault. When it comes to a consequence, let's say it's not your fault at all. You put on your seatbelt and there was a defect in the manufacturing of the car and you went over a bump and the seatbelt unclicked itself. And just at that moment, bad luck, chas v'shalom, you got into a crash with a truck. So can you say, no, I can't die. My head shouldn't split open when it hits the windshield because it's not my fault and that's not fair. What's the answer? That consequences are consequences. They don't have to be. You're right, it's not fair. They don't have to be fair. Right? And that's exactly what Rav Chasdai Kreskes says. He says, if you took this side of the Chakira, then you would have a good taina. But I take, and it's Mechuk the Rama, we'll just say for your Kor and many others, I take this side of the Chakira. It's not the side that they teach you in elementary school nowadays. It's only the consequence. Therefore, you're right, it's not fair. But it doesn't have to be fair. That's his mashal. What if you go into a fire? It's not your fault. I thought I was very careful to avoid fires. But some evil person kidnapped me and dumped and threw me into a fire. So do I say I shouldn't get burnt? It's not fair. No, the consequence is a consequence, right? You still get burnt. Okay. Avram Avinu notwithstanding. He says, basically, Anachanami. It's not fair. But it doesn't have to be fair. Right now, here it's a little dachuk. How can Tzchar Onish be not fair? Well, Hashem doesn't, it's not a penalty, it's a consequence. Consequences don't have to be fair.
How does that really solve anything? Because first of all, then you're saying Hashem does something which is not fair.
No, he doesn't, it's a consequence.
But who made the consequence?
Okay, here is the big problem. Basically, this is the third time we've said this in different words. I hope we've realized. Rav Chasdai Kreskes almost makes perfect sense. And maybe you can get him to work. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I think right now. If someone wanted to get him to work, maybe they could. I have a friend who's a big philosopher who says, no, he really holds like Rav Chasdai Kreskes. He's convinced we don't have free will, and therefore he holds like Rav Chasdai Kreskes. It all seems to work, right? I mean, this answer is fine. Why does Hashem tell us of a heart to b'chayim if we're determined? Oh, because he's just giving us data that will determine us in a good way. That's fine. How about the fact we experience free will? Yeah, we experience free will, but we don't know what made us decide it. How about the fact that it says a combination of chutz v'yishmaim? Okay, like b'dochak, you'll say, man, Hashem doesn't directly control it. It's just part of the data. How about the fact that tzchar v'onesh is unfair? Well, it doesn't have to be fair. It's a consequence. What's the problem? The problem is now everything specific in your life, he's answered up perfectly. The fact that one specific guy once killed someone and gets an onesh is no problem. It doesn't have to be fair. It's a consequence. The fact that one specific guy once ate an apple and it was determined and yet it says, Kobe Deshaim Chutz Mi Yishamayim is not a problem. Hashem didn't make you eat an apple. Your nature and nurture made you eat an apple. The problem is, if you look at a klalit, yes, it doesn't have to be fair. Meaning it's okay that it's not fair at the Scharva Onish because it's a consequence. But that just begs the question. Hashem created the whole world. What that means is that Hashem doesn't do unfair rewarding and punishing. It's a consequence. But instead, Hashem created an unfair world. Hashem created the world in the first place. He set everything in motion. Therefore, when you look at it, the weakness is the... When you look at it in general, the weakness is, look at creation of the whole world. And then, 1 and 4 are problematic. Especially 1. Meaning, Hashem created the whole world. When he created the whole world, he put all the things in motion that would make you do everything. So how can you say, HaKobedei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yishamayim? Okay, that's Mila, not the end of the world. It's a meme of Chazal. You can say it means what you want. 1 is the big problem. If Hashem created the whole world, that means you're right. He never gives you hell unfairly. It's a consequence. But he created the whole system that's unfair. How could Hashem create a whole world that's unfair? This didn't bother Rav Chasdai Kreskes. Apparently, he says, I know, we have no right to ask questions about how Hashem created the world. But it bothers us. Like, we feel like did he really solve the problem? Or did he just, like, you know, do some sleight of hand and, like, move the problem someplace we can't see it anymore? Did he really solve the problem? Or did he just, like, put it in his sleeve and hide it where we can't see it anymore unless we think about the fact that it's still there? So that's the weakness that I don't know how to defend Rechasai Kreskes. That, yes, it's not unfair that Hashem punishes you for killing someone. Rather, it's unfair that he created the whole world, which, by definition, is always unfair. To me, it doesn't sound like a great defense, even though he thought it was. So I have to leave it to Tzarek Dion. Basically, what comes out is that it's very dochuk to say we don't have free will, which is probably why 99% of Jewish philosophers throughout all of history held that we do have free will. Okay. I think we finished these Makoros, basically. If you want a nice challenge, like we didn't read all of the Makoros, you know, go home, read 17, try to figure out if the Ravid holds like Rechasai Kreskes or not. Not so clear to me. It seems a little to me like the Ravid might hold like Rechasai Kreskes, although I don't know how much to be Madaic, because the Ravid does say that Hashem knows if your Seichel is strong enough to overpower the forces that run the natural world or not at any moment. Sounds like either your Seichel is powerful enough to do something or not, and it's all determined in advance, but it's hard to tell much to be Madaic. Anyway, I think that's it for now, but maybe we'll come back to next time a little, is to take a maybe more practical perspective, and if you'll allow me one more week to talk about the Chiyur Chafshis, the following interesting challenge. Let's forget Rav Chasdei. I mean, they're very interesting and fascinating and challenging and have good Chakirs and Schar Onish. That's very important, Chakir and Schar Onish. But let's forget Rav Chasdei Kreskes and Mishloach. Go back to mainstream Judaism. We have free will. Do we always have free will? Like, aren't people predictable? Like, don't we... I don't know. Isn't it true there are laws of psychology? Like, is it 100% free will? I don't know. I can predict what people will do. I know what some people will do and some people won't do. So... what does that mean if, like, I think any intelligent person says, like, for example, do you think I will get up tomorrow morning and eat a cheeseburger?
No.
Probably 100% certain I won't. Yet, do I have free will? Well, yeah. Like, I don't know. Will I drop this or hold it? I feel like I have free will. So, like, do we have free will for some things, not other things? Like, how do we deal with the partiality of free will? If we assume free will, forget these crazy shitas. How do we deal with the fact that free will seems to be partial? There seem to be limits on free will. What the model for that philosophically? Maybe we'll discuss how three different modern Jewish philosophers deal with that. Mir Tashem next week. Okay, but now we should go to sleep.